for me this shiur be a merit for Shmuel Meir ben Esther to have Rafua Shalema. This week's parsha is Parshas Noach, and as we all know, there is always this tremendous contrast between Noach versus Avraham Avinu. We are the descendants of Avraham, we are not the descendants of Noach. And, you know, that has a lot of ramifications. You know, think about the different sort of like key objects. The key object for Noach is an ark. There's a flood, there's rain coming down, there's water coming up, everyone's dying all around. And before that, there had been a flood of immorality. All around, everyone is stealing, murdering, engaged in illicit marital relations, and Noach's response is basically to shelter himself in a cocoon, to hide in a virtuous ghetto. And Noach survives, his family survives, but the whole generation is lost. And the contrast to that is Avraham Avinu. When we think of Avraham Avinu, the people of Sodom, Avraham Avinu tries to engage with the people of Sodom. He prays for the people of Sodom. Avraham Avinu lives not that far from Sodom. He has a tent with doorways open. He's welcoming guests. In the beginning of Parshas Vayera, he has earth worshippers that are clearly not where he is, and he's bringing them in, and he's, you know, standing over them, looking to serve them, looking to, you know, give to them. And when they're going to say thank you, he's going to say, well, no, don't thank me, thank Hashem, who it all came from. You know, he has his, you know, ethics, but he's certainly trying to share those values with the world versus trying to avoid a world that's filled with dangers. And we are the descendants of Avraham Avinu. We're not the descendants of Noach. Noach does not succeed in his approach. Avraham Avinu succeeds. We are the people of Avraham. So this really goes back to Rashi in the very beginning of the Parsha. The Torah says, Eila told us Noach, these are the generations of Noach, the chronicles of Noach. Noach ish tzadik, Noach is a man who is righteous. Tamim haya bidorosav, he was perfect in his generations. Es ha'elokim hishalech Noach, with God did Noach walk. So Rashi says that that's not the same thing as we find as with Avraham. When Hashem describes Avraham, Hashem says, Asher hishalech lefanai. And Hashem says, in regards to the Bris Milah, Hishalech lefanai veheyeh tamim, walk before me and be perfect. So Noach is ish tzadik tamim haya bidorosav, Esha Elokim hishalech, with God he walked. Whereas Avraham is hishalech lefanai, walk before me. So why is there this difference between Avraham and Noach? Why does Noach hide in a teva, while Avraham builds a tent that's open, that's welcoming? Why is Avraham the person who welcomes the earth worshipper and seeks to change the perspective of the earth worshipper? And Noach, he may have spent 120 years building the teva and having dialogue, but he doesn't succeed with anyone. So what's the root of the difference, that Avraham walks before God, whereas Noach needs God's support to walk hand in hand with God? Why the difference between Noach and Avraham? I was thinking the other day that Shemi Shmuel, Rav Shmuel Rezavs, Rav Shmuel Bornstein, the Rebbe of Sachetchav, his writings are very psychologically, aware, or he's very focused on some of the psychological dynamics that people have. So he tries to get into perhaps the personality issues of Avraham and the personality of Noach, and to figure out what's the root of these differences in attitude and behaviors.
Well, like, I just have a basic mm-hmm. question. Why is it that no other tzaddik and no other leader is really compared to other leaders of other times and generations? The whole concept that Noah is a tzaddik in his generation, but he wouldn't be a tzaddik in Abraham's.
I think it's because the Torah does
Moshe
that.
Being, you know, or the leader.
Well, the Torah does it. The Torah says that tzaddik haya bedoro sav. There's a qualifier there. It's not just tzaddik. It's tzaddik bedoro sav. And there is that, you know, hisalech and hisalech, the same verb used once by Abraham and once by Noach, which is another, you know, point of linkage, maybe contrast or maybe equation. So the connections there.
So it's a constructive point to try to see the difference.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, to see the difference. So Shem Yishmuel suggests the following, that perhaps there is a difference between the character of Avraham and the character of Noach. We find that in Tehillim chapter 89 begins with Lamnatzeach Le'itan HaEzrachi, to the composer who's singing in honor of the Eitan HaEzrachi. Eitan means literally a very mighty person, very strong. Eitan HaEzrachi is a reference to Avram Avinu, that he's a very, very strong person. The Rambam, in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, he talks about Avram Avinu as being remarkably strong. And the Rambam says, because Avram Avinu grew up in a society that was filled with idolatry. It was unheard of to think otherwise. Nimrod was a propagator and, you know, missionary for various idolatries. Avram's own father was in the business of making idols and selling idols. And in such a society where everyone believes in the idols, everyone believes in all of that stuff, that nonsense, for Avram Avinu to start asking, well, the sun, why does it set? It means it's not all-powerful. It doesn't make sense to serve the sun. The moon also is pushed away by the sun. That's not all-powerful. I came from somewhere. The world must have come from somewhere. The world has too much precision, too much planning for it to just be, you know, something that happened on its own, that required tremendous strength of personality. There's some people, they have very strong personalities. The fact that Avram is called an Eitan implies that he has a very great strength. The truth is that all of us have it. We all have the ability to really be stubborn and to be strong, to have a certain arrogance. You know, I think I'm right, and that's it. I think I'm right. And let the other guy change his mind. I remember once I was at a meeting where they were bringing different, you know, people who were involved in communal work to speak to us at Yeshiva University, and a fellow came to speak. He was a very prominent lawyer at the time, and he had been president of the Conference of Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations. He had been president of the Israeli Day Parade. He had been president of JTA. He had been president of the Claims Conference of Claims Against Germany. So he said, one of the things I learned, when you're in a room and someone's giving you a hard time, you just stay in the room until that guy walks out. You just stay there and you just keep saying your piece till he walks out. You know, you're very, very tough. You're very, very strong. There are some people that are very, very tough and strong and stubborn and sure that they're right, somewhat definitive, prideful, and they don't back down. And Avram Avinu had that. That's why he's called an Eitan. He's called a very mighty person. The Rambam's language is Kivan Shenigmal Eitan Zeh. Once this Eitan matured, he rejected the whole society was saying. So much so that Nimrod says, I'm going to throw you into a furnace. He says, throw me into a furnace. He's very, very tough, very, very strong. The pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Achas hi yonasi tamasi. She is unique. My dove, my perfect one. And the Midrash says on that in Shmos, Yonasi tamasi, my Yona, my perfect one. The Yona is very loyal to its mate. So when God says, when I ask of something, they're like a Yona, they're a little dove, they'll do whatever I tell them to do. But when the nations of the world are trying to push them away from my service, Kashin kachayot, they are as tough as wild animals. They're as wild beasts, very, very strong. And that's a certain challenge to, relative to God, to be soft and humble and meek and submissive. And then that same person who can be so soft and so meek, when the nations of the world are trying to push us away, to be the toughest, the most stubborn, the most stiff-necked, the most difficult, the most sure. But that's the challenge. Because God has made us, this is what the Shem Yishmuel says, God has given all of us both qualities. He's given us the quality of being very submissive and retiring and quiet. And he's given us the ability to be very difficult and very stubborn and very sure and very tough and very decisive and very confident. And what God wants is that we should know where to channel which strength. When he tells us something to do, we are submissive, following his directions. And when the nations of the world are trying to push us away and they're telling us all sorts of things, then we have to be very tough and very, very strong. And so since Avraham Avinu had that wonderful dynamic of knowing when to be tough and confident and knowing when to be humble and submissive, when the people of his generation were trying to pull him down with idolatry and pressure and all the social difficulties, Avraham Avinu was completely not damaged and he could keep on going. He was so strong that he was able to go out into the world with his message, unafraid. You know, my father was a student of Rav Soloveitchik. And one of the great contributions of Rav Soloveitchik was that Rav Soloveitchik was trying to create a generation that would have this tremendous strength to be able to go out into the world and to be so firmly rooted in Torah, in learning of Gemara, in the analysis of Halacha, and the appreciation for the Halacha, that they would engage in the Western world and not allow any aspect of modernity with all of its ugliness and crassness to in any way take away from observance of Torah and mitzvot. And that was really one of his great things. He was somebody who was immersed in Torah learning, and yet he was very well read in philosophy and psychology and literature, mathematics and physics, and he saw all these things. He saw the theories of evolution, and he saw all the arguments, and none of it bothered him. He was so sure of Torah and mitzvos that he felt that none of these various modern heresies were such problems. We can overcome all of it. We are firm in our Torah and our mitzvos, and okay, that's what they say, but that doesn't bother him so much. Maybe his attitude was that it's a theory. You know, they have theories. Their theories will change. The Torah is eternal. But the Torah student doesn't have to run away from all of that encounter. If we run away, that means that we feel that we're weak. Now, if we're weak, then already we've started to lose. We have to be very, very confident. We have to be like the general, you know, going ahead, going into battle with confidence and with security. That was Avraham Avinu, Lahavdil. Avraham Avinu, he was an Eitan. He was very, very strong. And he knew how to channel the strength. So the nations of the world came with all of their opposition and enticements, and he was not swayed at all. But what about Noach? The Torah says about Noach, Noach is Ish Tzadik, he's a righteous man. Tamim, who's perfect. So that means he's great, he's a Tzadik. But apparently, he was too humble. The Midrash says that Noach says to God, Ani kasher asu ken asisi. The same thing my generation did, that's what I did. Ma beini leveinam. Why is there any difference between me and them? Elash gemaltani tova. You're doing for me a favor. Amartli, you're telling me, bo atav achol beischal ateva. Come you and your family into the ark. So Noach, he was too humble. And he didn't believe in himself. He didn't believe in he didn't have confidence. And so he thought, okay, you know, I'm being saved. It's a grace of God. I don't deserve it. The generation is the same as I am. You know, that we find this danger of excess humility elsewhere in the Torah. Parsha Shlach, the Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu changed the name of Hoshea ben Nun and called him Yehoshua. So the Targum, Yonasan ben Uziel, the translation says, Kedichama Moshe an v'senuse. When Moshe saw the humility of Hoshea, he called him Yehoshua. Understand, humility is a good thing. So why is he calling him Yehoshua? So explain the Avnei Nezer, the father of the Shem Yishmuel. Someone who's too humble is submissive. He allows himself to go along with the stream. How could I go against them? How could I speak up? How could I, you know, say anything? Who am I? What am I? That's what everybody else is doing. I'm going with them. So if that's the case, you know, here you have the leaders of the generation, the 10 leaders of the tribes. They're all going to come with negativity about the land of Israel. Hoshea would follow along. So Moshe Rabbeinu adds the letter Yud. He adds the Yud to Yehoshua. And we can add to this idea, where does he take the Yud from? He takes it from Sarai. Sarai is no shrinking violet. Sarai is the woman who throws out Ishmael. Avram says, whatever Sarai tells you, whatever Sarah tells you, Hashem tells Avram, listen to her. She's very strong. She's very decisive. And so Moshe Rabbeinu sees that Yehoshua is so humble and so submissive and meek. So he says, Yehoshua needs to have real toughness. You've got to go out there with tremendous strength. So therefore, Moshe renames him Yehoshua and gives him the toughness of Sarai to go out and to resist the counsel of the spies. So maybe that's what God is giving to Noach. Rashi says, "As Elokim is Aleich Noach." Noach walked with God. What does it mean? It walked with God, just like the Rashi says, "Ka Yoshiach Me'atzas Miraglim." God should save you from the counsel of the spies. You need God's help, Yehoshua, because you're too humble. Noach was too humble, so he needed God's help to toughen him up, to toughen his spirits. Without God's toughness, without, you know, becoming more confident and getting that support, all these wicked people would have dragged Noach down. Now, would they have made Noach a sinner? Probably not. He was a righteous man. But at least he would have doubted his righteousness. Maybe intellectually he would have been impacted. He'd be thinking the things they think about. He wouldn't have had the strength to just ignore it all and just have that single-minded focus, which is what was called for. Suggests the Shem Yishmuel. That's why Noach doesn't act like an Avraham. Because Noach knew himself. But how could I go out and try to interact and influence and change them? I'm going to be changed by them before I change them. I'm too soft. I'm not a toughie. I'm not a strong-minded Avraham Avinu. So Noach hides because he knows his personality. He's like Yehoshua before getting the letter Yud. Before Yehoshua got the letter Yud, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Hoshea is going to be influenced by this group. That's who Noach would have been influenced by the group. So Noach feels, I can't go out there and actually, you know, try to change them. I'm going to be pulled along by the currents. There's a Medrash. The Medrash says the Parsha begins with Eileh Toldos Noach. These are the generations of Noach, says the Medrash. These to separate from what was before. So of course, I mean, before you have wicked people. That's all those lists of people born after Adam at the end of Parshas Bereishis. They're all wicked people. The Torah says the whole world was corrupt. when Noach is born, they say, we hope he will console us. Everybody saw there was terrible corruption. So I mean, these are the righteous ones. But the answer is like this, that Noach chose to separate himself from everybody else. And the Midrash is saying that's how he became a full tzaddik, because he wasn't a tough person, and he wasn't a strong personality. So because he wasn't a strong personality, he couldn't try to get involved and influence them and change them. He wasn't so confident in what he represented. And since he wasn't so confident in what he represented, he didn't have the strength to transform them. He was more concerned that they would transform him. Avraham Avinu is the Eitan. He's the strong person. And because Avraham Avinu is so strong, he doesn't need God's help. He can walk ahead of God. He can go out and try to influence the people, go down into the dumps where they are. You know, he won't get dirty from them. And he's going to, on the contrary, lift them up and bring them closer to monotheism, which is what Avraham Avinu does. Yeah, question.
So Hashem knew Noah's going to fail, it sounds like. Why wouldn't he have picked someone that could do the job?
Well, I'm not sure Hashem is setting him up for failure. Hashem created him. According to the Shem Yishmuel, Noach doesn't have he didn't develop the strength that Avraham develops, that the Jewish nation develops. He allowed himself to be humble to God and humble to people. Now, to be humble to God is good. But you have to be strong in front of people. And Noach didn't do that. I once heard something which was really changed me. I was part of a panel with a couple of other authors on different topics. So somebody raised a certain idea. And he said, you know, this idea is a dangerous idea. But you know what? That's what makes life exciting. The fact that Judaism is filled with dangerous ideas. And Hashem is expecting of us to really understand probe, define, get it right,
fine-tune it.
And that's what makes it interesting. You know, if everything would be easy, you know, black and white, life wouldn't be interesting. And it wouldn't be the great adventure that Hashem wants it to be. Hashem wants it to be an adventure of, effort to get it done right and to precisely understand and define. So, I think that's the point here, which is we're supposed to work on our personalities. Noach was certainly righteous, and it was a great thing that he stayed away from people and he kept himself righteous in that generation. But there was a higher level, and that higher level would have been to have worked on himself, to have also the strength to engage with the generation, to change people in the generation,
not just to hide from them. This is what Hashem is picking also.
He was the best one out there.
For the future.
He was the only one.
I think if you're going to, you want the...
Hashem picked Adam, and Adam failed with the Chet Eitz Hadas. Hashem sets us up, and gives us the chance for failure. Many times we do fail, and we can't give up because we failed. That's reason to day to keep going. I think Albert Einstein said, you fail the day you stop trying. And as long as you're trying, you haven't yet failed, because maybe you'll get through. When you stop trying, then you failed. So, Hashem doesn't stop trying. He starts with Adam, doesn't work. 10 generations, still not working. Noach, also not exactly working. Another 10 generations, still not working. Finally gets to Avraham Avinu, generation 21. And then, all right, now we have it took a long time to fine-tune it. Now we finally have the strong, decisive, committed, confident personality who's using that confidence in the right way, confident for God, confident for Torah, for mitzvos, and humble. Humble before God. Humble, but confident in front of people. So Shem Yishmuel says that in light of this, maybe we can understand the words of the Zohar. The Zohar says, Noach went down but didn't go up. Avram went down and went up. The idea being that Noach didn't have the strength of personality to go down, get into the mud and pull out the diamond. So when he goes down after the flood and he builds, he, you know, creates a vineyard, and has wine, it's a disaster. He gets drunk, he gets mistreated by his son, by his grandson. It's a disaster because he doesn't have that ability to go down into the dumps and still come out okay. But Avram Avinu, he does, because Avram Avinu is a very strong person. So Avram Avinu can have the earth worshippers in his house and engage with them and talk to them, and he's not failing. Avram Avinu goes down into Egypt, and even though it's such a horrible, sinful place, Avram Avinu himself stays pure. Avram Avinu has a very great decisiveness. Now, the Zohar says that Noach, in time, is represented by Shabbos. The Shabbos day is like the person of Noach.
Noach means rest, right?
So there's a connection, right? Noach is like the word menucha, yeah. Shabbos menucha. So it's a time of rest. So Shemi Shmuel suggests that maybe the idea is like this, that Shabbos is a time totally separate from the days of the week. There's no weekday quality to Shabbos. To live in the week, we have the 39 activities, the work. And Shabbos, we can't do any of those 39 activities. Shabbos is totally separate on the days of the week. Whereas Yom Tov, it has a holiday aspect, it has a holy aspect, but it also has days of the week aspect. We're allowed to cook, we're allowed to carry, we're allowed to do things that are ochel nefesh. So Noach, he's totally separate from his generation. Like Shabbos is totally separate from the days of the week. Because had Noach had a connection to his generation, he would have been pulled down by the generation. So he totally separates. Whereas Avram Avinu, we're suggesting, is with the generation. That's why we find that we have three patriarchs, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and the Torah tells us that they correspond to the three Yom Tovim. Avram Avinu tells his wife, Lushi Vasu Ugos, make matzos. Yitzchak is the attribute of strength, and the Gemara says that Torah piagvura shamanu, we heard the Torah from the source of strength. And Yaakov Avinu is the one who makes sukkos, he's the one who makes the tents, he makes the booths. So the avos, they are connected to Yom Tov, whereas Noach is connected to Shabbos. And in a certain way, maybe Yom Tov is better than Shabbos, because Shabbos has nothing to do with the days of the week. But Yom Tov is connected to the days of the week, because on Yom Tov you can do malacha. So you have some people, they're righteous people, so they can be elevated by Shabbos. But then you have people who are weekday people, they can't get into Shabbos. But a Yom Tov can get them, because Yom Tov is a little bit where they are. And Yom Tov can lift them up. And maybe Rosh Chodesh can lift people even further, because Rosh Chodesh is even less of a holiday, it's even more of a weekday. And so Shemi Shmuel suggests that maybe that's the dynamic, that really God has created all of us with the qualities of humility and confidence. The failure of Noach is that Noach is just humility, humility before God, which is good, but also humility before people, which is dangerous. Avram Avinu has the confidence and the strength to be strong in front of people and humble before God. So that's the advantage of Avram over Noach. Avram can walk ahead of God. He doesn't need support. Noach is like Yehoshua, like Hosea. He needs God's support to stay firm. And Noach, because he knows this about himself, Noach tries to protect himself. He knows that if he'd get involved, he'd be damaged. So he, you know, builds himself a ghetto. He builds himself an enclave, a shelter. But that is, in fact, ultimately a mistake. Or a weakness. It's not the level that Hashem expects of the Jewish people. We are expected of more. What's expected of us is the confidence to be out in the world and out with people and to be so firm in our Torah and our mitzvos, in our emunah, that we don't get pulled down. Now, a similar set of themes Shemi Shmuel discusses back in Parshas Bereishis in explaining the psukim about Cain. The Torah says that Cain brought an offering, then Hevel brought an offering. God sent a fire to accept Hevel's offering, and Cain gets all upset. So God tells Cain, Lama charalach, what are you upset about? Lama naflu panecha, why did your face fall? Haloim teitiv says, you know, if you improve yourself, you can overcome this. In lo teitiv, if you don't improve yourself, la petach atas rovetz, you know, sin is about to get you. Elecha tishukaso, the evil urge wants to get you. But vata timshalba, but you can rule over him. So Shem Yishmuel says, you know, why is God giving a kind of hard time for getting depressed? He offered an offering, it wasn't accepted. Shouldn't you be upset about that? I'd be happy, oh, I gave an offering and still it's okay. So Shem Yishmuel answers that apparently when Cain gets depressed, it means that Cain gives up. Cain despairs. And there's nothing worse than despair. Giving up, having yish, that's the worst thing, to just give up. And we can say even further, Cain is different than Noach. What's the meaning of the word Cain? Kinyan, acquisition. He's very confident. He's very confident. He's a guy who matters. He's arrogant. He really believes in himself. Cain believes in himself greatly. That's who he is. I've acquired something. It was the language of his birth is that Chava says, "Kanisi ish es Hashem." I made a man with God. I'm like God. God makes. I make. I made a man. Look at him. Look at me. Look at what I've accomplished. And that's an important quality. To serving God. Serving God requires confidence. It requires the attitude of, I matter. The world was made for me, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. I'm consequential. The world is, you know, half merits, half sins. You know, if I do a good deed now, I'm going to save the world. I really matter. My opinions matter. And that's the way we're supposed to live life. But what Cain is missing is he doesn't have the humility at all. See, Avram Avinu has the confidence of a Cain. Cain is just confidence, all over confidence. Noach is just humility all over. Avram Avinu is the balance. Avram Avinu knows to be confident when I deal with people and I deal with opponents, and to be humble when I deal with God. But Cain, he doesn't have the humility anywhere. He's just confidence. And, you know, ultimately a person has to have the humility when he deals with God, and he has to have the confidence when he deals with the opponents of religion. So if somebody only has confidence, even against God, then he's a disaster. He thinks he knows better than God, he can tell God what to do, he's so arrogant, you know, that's what the Gemara says, an arrogant person. It's like he committed every sin in the book, it's like he's an idolatrous person, and that's Cain. So Cain was a person who was extremely arrogant. He felt that he mattered. He felt that he was important. And Hevel was the opposite of Cain. Hevel was very submissive, too submissive. Hevel, the very word Hevel means emptiness, right? Hevel havelim amar koelos hakol havel. Koheles keeps using the phrase hevel. It's empty, it's vain, it's nothing. Hevel says, I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody. Now that's a positive thing when you listen to God, but it's also a negative thing when you allow people to push you around. So Hevel, he doesn't have the initiative to offer an offering. Cain has the initiative, because Cain's very confident. And Hevel goes along with Cain. He figures, you know, if Cain's offering, my thing will be offered too. But he's very humble about it. And it turns out that God accepts him and doesn't accept Cain's offering because Cain is so arrogant. So the nature of an arrogant person, says the Shem Yishmuel, is that initially when he's rejected, he gets very angry. And then when he sees that the rejection is final, he gives up entirely. He despairs. Because he's like the master of the world. Like, I can't do it. I'm nothing at all. He has complete despair, and that's what Hashem tells Cain. He says, "Listen, you got a setback, but lama charalach? Why are you so depressed that you were rejected?" as if now everything's over because your offering was not offered. Lama naflu panecha? Why do you feel like it's all lost? Everything's gone. Like you've given up entirely. Halo im tetiv seis. In other words, if you do tshuva, you can get back. Tetiv, if you improve, seis, you can get everything back that you lost. And even more than that, im tetiv seis, you have arrogance. Use arrogance in the right way. Use arrogance to be confident to serve Hashem, to be confident against the opponents of Hashem. But what are you using your confidence to just completely despair and give up? And that was the mistake of Kayin. So if we think about it, Kayin, Hevel, Noach, Avraham, according to the Shem Yishmuel, at least in these Divrei Torah, they're different sort of personalities based on what they've developed. Kayin is all arrogant, the fully arrogant person, number one, Hashem doesn't like. Number two, when he sees that he doesn't get his way, he just gives up entirely, completely drops everything. Hevel is totally humble, very submissive, just follows along, which is also a problem. That's why Hashem allowed Hevel to get killed. Noach is very, very humble, and because he's very humble, he tries to avoid people because he's afraid people are going to drag him down, so he builds an ark to protect himself. And then you have Avraham, and Avraham's really the ideal. That Avraham has tremendous humility. He says, Anochi afar va'efer, I'm dust and ashes. But who does he say that to? He says that to God, when he's talking to God about the people of stone. In dealing with God, Avraham is very humble. He follows whatever God tells him to do. Offer your son, he'll offer his son too. But in dealing with people, and Avraham's very, very confident. He goes out to war against four kings, even though it's just him and one person. He's very confident. The king of stone offers him money. He rejects it all. You know, he's a very, very confident person. He leaves his family. He goes into a furnace for the sake of his faith. He's an Eitan. He's a tough person. He's welcoming guests. He's trying to change their perspective, trying to change their attitude. Avraham has tremendous confidence when dealing with others. Tremendous strength when dealing with others. Dealing with Hashem, tremendous humility, tremendous submission, tremendous following in the ways of Hashem. And we are the children of Avraham Avinu. We are people that are supposed to try to reach, as we've been discussing, this difficult yet fine-tuned reality of being very strong and very confident when dealing with others, very submissive, very meek and obedient when dealing with Hashem. We should be people of Avraham Avinu who walk before Hashem, confident, and people who try to become perfect, try to become as righteous as we can be. So these are some ideas of the Shem Yishmuel, this week's parasha.